The title of the series is What is Faith? Would you please say that out loud? Say, what is faith? And I want you to pose that question to your neighbor. Ask them what they think faith is. What do you think faith is? And so the subtitle today is Faith is Formation. Faith is Formation. Would you please say that out loud? Say, faith is formation. So I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. Here's what it says. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Please say this again. Say, what is faith? Say, what is faith? Now, please say, faith is formation. Faith is formation. Now, in verse 1 here, it says that faith is sure of what you're hoping for. I wonder what you hope for today. Is it for a better marriage? Is it for the grace to parent your children? What do you hope for today? Is it for better health? When we think of hope, it's really, we're talking about our dreams. What do you dream today? What are your dreams? Is it for your ministry? Is it for a business? And so the scripture here says that it's being sure of what we hope for. That's where faith comes in. So we all have hopes today. We all have dreams today. But faith is when we're sure that it's actually going to happen. We're sure that that those things are going to come to pass. And so every one of us have hopes and dreams here. So faith is this idea of being sure of what we're hoping for. So it's sure of what you're dreaming, or said another way, what you can imagine will actually come to pass. When the Bible talks about hope, it's really talking about your dreams and what you can imagine. It's using your imagination. It's imagining what it would be like to be free from physical pain, what it would be like to be healed, what it would be like to be free from emotional hurt, emotional pain. What would it be like to have your dream job? What would it be like to have a new house, to have a new car? It's this idea of dreaming and imagination, but being sure that is actually going to happen. And so we want to talk about how faith is this certainty. So it's certain, the Bible says, of what we do not see. In other words, we'll see it one day. It's going to happen one day. Maybe you have a dream to be married. It's going to happen one day. You'll meet that significant person and you'll get married. You're certain. You're certain that you will be healed. You're certain that you're going to get that job. It's this idea of certainty. And so this thought that you have, or this dream, or this imagination that you have, this thing that you're imagining, will actually become a reality. And so this is the idea of faith. Faith is something where you have a thought, a dream, and it actually becomes reality. Now, notice what the scripture here says. It says, now faith is. There's something about now. Because sometimes we think that faith is in the future. Faith is something that we don't have. Faith is something that we have to obtain. But notice what he said here. He said, now faith is. Now faith is. There's something about the fact that you have faith. And I think it's tied in to who you are. It's tied into your identity. It's tied in to the potentiality that's already on the inside of you. And you have to discover that. You have to realize that. They discovered in an Egyptian tomb some seeds that were put in along with a mummy in a coffin. They had some seeds. You'll remember the Egyptians believed that they were going to carry some things on into the afterlife with them. And so they found some seeds that were thousands of years old, and they decided to plant those seeds. And do you know that those seeds actually grew into trees? So think about that. A seed that was thousands of years old was still good. It just needed soil to plant it. It just needed the right soil to plant in. And I think this is a good way to describe faith. It really has to do with our identity. It has to do with the potentiality that's inside of you. God created you in His image, and you have this enormous amount of potential that's on the inside of you. you've just got to plant those seeds in the right soil. It's the soil of faith. You got to actually believe with certainty that the thoughts and the dreams that you have are going to come to pass. And so it's tied into your identity. It's tied into your potentiality. Sometimes we have trouble believing that something is actually going to happen because we don't think we're worthy. We don't think it could happen to us. We feel that we started out in life with difficulty. We feel like we don't have enough education, that we're not qualified. And all those things are very, very understandable. But if we could realize this idea of the seed, this idea that this enormous potential is on the inside of everyone, and it's tied to our identity, it just needs soil, it just needs faith to begin to germinate and begin to grow in our life. And so I think this idea of now faith is really important, because sometimes we think that it's far-reaching or it's something that we have to attain. No, you've got a lot of faith. You have more faith than you realize. I was looking around the room and I noticed that all of you sat down today with a lot of confidence. Now, why did you do that? You sat down with tremendous amount of confidence. Not one of you looked back to see if that chair would hold you. You just sat down in that chair. Now, why did you do that today? You sat down in that chair with confidence because you know, even if it was subconscious, you know, ever since you were a little kid, you knew that that chair was designed for you to sit in. So you have knowledge. You have an incredible amount of knowledge about chairs that it was designed for you to sit in. The other thing that you have is a lot of experience. You have been sitting in chairs since you were a little kid, and so you have a lot of experience. So you have knowledge that this was designed to sit in, and you have incredible experience. You put those things together, and that increases your faith. So we could say this, that faith is knowledge plus experience. Knowledge and experience equal faith. And so the great news is this, is that you can grow in your faith. You can increase your knowledge about certain things, and then you can begin to walk with God, and you can experience things in life. And so that builds your faith. You have more faith because you have knowledge and you have experience. Now, if you did pause or hesitate to sit in that chair, if you did turn around to make sure that that chair was okay, it probably means you had a recent experience that was bad. Maybe this last week you sat in a chair and it broke on you. And so you wanted to make sure that that chair was solid and that it was good. And that explains life as well. Because sometimes we don't have faith because of the hurt that we've been through. Or because of the emotional hurt that we have gone through. Or the disappointments that we have gone through. And so it's hard for us to have faith. It's hard for us to really believe in the knowledge that we have, and even in the experience, because of the emotional hurt. Well, I'm here to let you know today that God can heal your heart from those past experiences, and you can continue to increase your knowledge and increase your experiences with the Lord, and your faith will develop. So we could say today that faith is, now faith is, that's a potentiality and identity, but now faith is to say that it's knowledge and experience. So you actually have more faith than you realize because you sat in a chair today, and that is amazing. So if you sat in a chair today, then you can believe God for your salvation. If you sat in a chair today, you can believe God to heal your heart. If you sat in a chair today, you can believe God to heal your body. So faith is knowledge and experience. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse number 3 here. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, I want you to see the word formed here. It's actually the Greek word katarizo. Now, katarizo can be translated a number of different ways, but it's this idea of being formed. Let me illustrate this for you. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless. So take note of that the earth was formless, but we just read about the fact that faith is comes forth by being formed. So the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So you might be here today and you might say, well, I feel like everything is formless in my life. I feel like I don't have great definition. I've had some dreams and I've had some thoughts about what I want to do, but it hasn't taken any kind of form in my life. Well, look at the next verse. It says this, then God said, let there be. And then the Bible tells us that he created the world. He formed the world by his command, by the words that he spoke. And so God created the world by the words that he spoke. Hear the word of the Lord today. God creates your world by his word. That's really important. He creates your world by the words that he has spoken. And so that's where you received eternal life. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He created your world. He gave you salvation by his word. That's why the Bible describes Jesus as being God's word. He was the literal manifestation of God's word. So that which is invisible becomes visible when God speaks his word. You could say this, that God's word is the currency to get something from the invisible realm to the visible realm. So your thoughts, your dreams, the things that you imagine, there's a currency. There's something that can be released into this realm. It's God's word. So you have to know God's word. You have to know his promises for your life. And so he forms your world by his word. Now, contrast that to Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So there is a pattern of the world. There's a mindset of the world. And Paul says in Romans 12, 2, to not be conformed. How does God form your word? He forms your world with his word. Contrast that. You're not supposed to be conformed to the pattern of this world. You're not supposed to be in the mold of the world. You're not supposed to have the pattern of thinking that the world does. So Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Don't miss the word form there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So God doesn't want you to be formed by the world. He wants you to be formed by his word. This idea of form is really, really important. And so I'm here to declare to you today that faith forms you. And so God wants to form your world. Now, some of the other translations use the word frame, that God frames you. He frames out your world. Think of it in terms of building a house. You have to frame out a house, and so God's building your life. You got to frame some things out. So God forms your world by his word. Some of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a man of God from a previous generation, ministered in the early 1900s, and he raised 13 people from the dead. Now, some incredible testimonies of his ministry. But one of the testimonies, he told of a man that came to his meeting who didn't have any feet. And so this man wanted prayer, and they were seeing incredible miracles. He had seen the dead raised. He had seen cripples walk. He had seen blind eyes open. And so this guy didn't have any feet. And so Smith Wigglesworth prayed for him, and then he said to him, go buy a pair of shoes. And the man was a little taken aback by that. He was a little offended by that. But he thought, I should really respond to that word. And so he went to the shoe store and he said, I need a pair of shoes. And the guy said, well, what size shoe do you want? And he never thought about that. And so he had to think about how tall he was. And so he guessed what size shoe he wanted. And so he bought the pair of shoes. And the testimony is this, that when he took his ankle that didn't have any feet, and he stuck it in that shoe, that God grew his foot out. And so it formed to the pattern of that shoe. What an incredible miracle. Years ago, I was in Nigeria, and I was praying for people, and a couple brought their young boy, their son, up to be prayed for. And I prayed for him, and I didn't really fully understand what his situation was. I just thought he had hurt himself, maybe playing soccer or something. But I knew it was something about his feet. And so I prayed for him, and I prayed for his feet. And the next day, here comes this family running through the church, just shouting. And they came up to the front, and they're jumping, and they're shouting. And they explained that their son had a club foot. And all through the night, his foot grew and his foot was formed. Say amen to that. And so God wants to form some things in your life. He wants to form some things in your life. Now, don't miss this. Verse 2 of Hebrews 11 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients knew how to walk with God. And we'll get back to this later in the series. But there was something about walking with the Lord. And so here, God wants to form your walk with Him. He wants to form the dreams in your life. He wants to form and bring reality to the things that you're believing God for. So I'm here to declare to you that God is forming you. Faith is formation. Now, verse 3 says that the universe was formed, katarizo. This is a great word, katarizo. So I want to look at some other passages where katarizo is used. And this will shed some light. This will give us some revelation onto what the Lord means by katarizo when He says form. And let's see how this is translated in some other passages. So number one, faith forms. Everyone say that, faith forms. Okay. Number two, faith repairs. Say that, faith repairs. And so look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Now, I want to read this in the New Living Translation. It says this, a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. Do you see where it says repairing? That's the Greek word katarizo. Repairing their nets. Some of the translations, I think NASB and New King James says mending, that they mended their nets. So they repaired their nets, and he called them to come too. So katarizo means formed, but it also means to repair. So faith is repairing. Now you got to hear the word of the Lord today. God wants to not only form some things in your life, but He wants to repair some things in your life. And I wonder if there's someone here that you've gone through some difficult things in your life, some brokenness. Well, I've got great news for you. God wants to repair some things in your life. You might be sitting here and saying, well, you don't really understand the pain that I've walked through and the brokenness that I've walked through. I may not understand the detail, but I can say with confidence and prophesy over your life that God wants to heal you and He wants to repair some of the things in your life. He wants to heal a broken heart. But He wants to repair finances. You might be here today and say you lost everything because of a job or because of an investment or because of business. And that is very, very painful. Hear the word of the Lord. God wants to repair your finances. He wants to repair marriages. He wants to restore marriages. It's this idea of repairing. So faith is not just formation. Faith is repairing. God wants to repair things in your life. That's katarizo. When I was in high school, my first car was a little VW Bug. I think it was a 1974, but it was somewhere around there. My memory fades, 74 to 76. That was my first car that I had. And most of you know that I grew up in Africa, in the Congo. And so I got this car. I was so excited about it. And so I decided to put Land Cruiser, Toyota Land Cruiser tires on that. So I went to a mechanic and he cut the wheel wells out and I put those Toyota Land Cruiser tires on that. I really, I like this car. And it was light enough that when all my buddies, we would cram in there, we'd be five or six of us crammed into this little VW bug, that if we would get stuck, we would just get out and pick it up. So it'd get stuck, you know, we'd be on dirt roads and everything, and we'd just grab the back bumper and we'd just take, you know, and just heave it out. We'd literally be able to pick it up. I really like this car. But everything, it was a used car, and it just had all kinds of troubles. Has anybody been there? And so things would break all the time, and it would putter around. And one of the problems that it had is the accelerator cable would always break, and I would have to go and tie the accelerator cable. And one time I was driving, and it popped on me. But it was still in idle, and it was barely moving, about 10, 15 miles an hour. And then I came to a hill, and I had to go up that hill, and it's barely crawling up the hill. And I thought, what if this stalls on me? So I decided to jump out and push along with it as if that was going to do anything. I don't know why I did that. So I jump out of the car, and I'm running along while this thing is idling up the hill. And I have in my mind that, I guess I had in my mind, I don't know why, that if it stalled, I'd be able to somehow push it up the hill. I don't know what, it would have been safer to stay in the car. So I'm pushing it up. And while I'm going, these guys are standing over on the side of the road, and this guy looks at me and he goes, "Yo, ozali makasi," which means, "You are strong." I don't know if he meant that. I don't know if he meant that as a joke or, because you couldn't hear it. You couldn't hear it idle. It was just quiet. So it looked like I was pushing it up. So I don't know if he meant it as a joke or if he really thought that, "Ozali makasi, you are really strong." But I was pushing it up the hill. So this car, everything was going wrong, you know, with it. You know, the blinker would break. And so we have a little way to take care of that in Africa. If your blinker's broken, you just put your hand out the window and you go like this. This is your new blinker. And so, but I really like this car. This is my first car. I was so appreciative of my first car. Well, one day, this person, I was turning and this person plowed into me. And praise God, nobody was hurt. They weren't hurt. I wasn't hurt. And I was really, really thankful because this person did the right thing. And they paid for the repair. So I had to go weeks without this car. And I felt it. I was like, man, I want to have my car. And then finally it came back. And the guy who fixed it, I mean, he did an amazing job. And he painted it. It looked like new. It was completely repaired. Now I've got a word for you. God wants to repair some things in your life. And you might feel like things have slowed down. You might be waiting because you don't have it. You don't have the resources. Hear the word of the Lord. God wants to repair. Say amen to that. He wants to repair your finances. He wants to repair broken relationships. And I've got great news for you. When God repairs and he heals, he does it like you're brand new. You look really good. And you can't even tell there is an accident. Say amen. Say amen to that. And so I told you about some shoes because faith is a walk. And so I've had some experiences with shoes. One time I was preaching and I was getting pretty intense. And I said, you know, we really need to kick the devil. And so I went like this and I kicked and my shoe came off. And it just did somersaults down the aisle. Praise the Lord, it didn't hit anyone, but I was standing there without a shoe. I said, excuse me, to the ushers, could you bring me my shoe back? So I've had some experiences with shoes, and I was ministering in Africa, and my sole came off the shoe. And I don't even know what we would do in the States, but it was all I had. And so there was a guy that, his name was Peter, I remember him. He had a little shoe shine place next to my hotel, and I would go down there and he would shine my shoes. And so I went down and I'm limping because I don't have a sole, and I got my sole, and I said, hey, could you fix my could you fix my shoe? And he was amazing. I mean, he had all of this equipment in his little box. And I remember talking to him about, I said, what's your dream? And he says, well, and he looked across the street and he says, I want to have a store like that of shoes. Don't miss that, my brother and sister. But he was being faithful with what he had. And he glued the sole of my shoe back on, and it was like new. And I want you to know God wants to heal your soul. Come on, somebody. He wants to glue your soul back together. He wants to glue your heart back together so that you can walk this walk of faith. Can you say amen? And so faith forms, but faith also repairs. God is healing. He's a healing God. He wants to heal and repair some things in your life. The third thing about faith that I want to say today is that faith trains. So we've looked at katarizo. Katarizo can be translated as form. It can be translated as repair, but it also can be translated as train. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, and this is verses 39 and 40. He said to them, or he told them, also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained. That phrase there, fully trained, is katarizo. But everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. So faith forms, faith repairs, but faith also trains. God's doing something in your life. He's training you for something. And notice this, he says that you'll be like your teacher. You need a good mentor in your life. You need a good coach in your life. Part of the problem is that maybe we've never had a good example. Maybe you're trying to be a dad today, but you never had a dad. Maybe you're trying to be a good husband, but your dad was never around. Maybe you're trying to manage your finances, but you've never had any good examples or any good teaching on how to steward those things. That's very understandable because you become like the people that are coaching you or training you or teaching you. If you're learning a subject, you want to learn it from an expert. Say amen to that. You want to learn it from somebody who has gone before. When I was in high school, I really enjoyed athletics and I played basketball. And my freshman year of high school, my coach had played ball, pro ball in Europe. He played in Luxembourg. This guy was amazing. And he was a great coach, and he knew how to play ball, and so he was a great example to us. And so I just wanted to be like him. And so I tried to pattern my game after him. I would imitate what he did. A lot of times you learn by imitating, by repeating the things that you see happen. And so he was a great coach, and I wanted to be like him. But then my senior year in high school, they had to get someone to fill in as coach. He was no longer there. And so they got the guy that was the baseball coach. And he was a nice guy, but he didn't know how to play basketball. And he didn't know how to coach basketball. So I didn't want to play like him. And he was training everybody, are you with me, how not to do this as well. You become like your teacher. That's what Jesus said, right? And so you got to have a good teacher. You've got Jesus, but you need to have some mentors in your life. I want you to know the Lord is training you to do some things. He's working on some things in your life. And so I had that coach the second time. I didn't want to play like him. I wanted to play like my first coach. And so God is training you. He's doing something so that you can be like your teacher, so you can be like Christ, so you can be like Jesus. I've always enjoyed athletics, and I've always been fascinated by triathlons. And I just think it's intriguing. You know, a full triathlon is 106 miles on a bike. First of all, it's a 2.4-mile swim, then 106 miles on a bike, followed by a full marathon, 26.2 miles as a marathon. That's a full triathlon. Now, I've never done that. That would be my dream. But to train for it is like having a part-time job, the amount of time that you have to put in. But I try to do at least one short course triathlon at least once a year. And so I remember when I first started training, I hadn't been working out. I hadn't been exercising for years. And so when I thought I would train for my first triathlon, which was just going to be what we call a sprint, and that's just a half-mile swim and a 10-mile bike and a 5K, a 3.1-mile run, I just pulled out an old pair of tennis shoes, and I started running. And I was out of shape, and I was hurting. And my first thought was, because I'd heard all these things about when you get 40, that your joints, you know, kind of break down. Then I just realized I was overweight. It had nothing to do with my joints. Had to do with my weight, because when I lost weight, I felt amazing. But my feet were killing me until I got a really good pair of running shoes, and I felt like I could run like the wind. It makes all the difference in the world to have a good pair of running shoes. I felt amazing. And so you got to realize this, that God wants to train you for something. It's going to take hard work, but you also need the right equipment. You also need God's word in your life. You need some mentors, and you need some people that will help coach you in these things. He's training you. When I was in college, I had a great job. I was a school bus driver. And the reason why that was so great is in the morning, I could take my kids to school, and then I'd drop them off at school, and then I'd go and do all my college classes, and then I would go pick them up in the afternoon. And then it was really good. If I got a football game, or I got a basketball game, or a wrestling match, then that would kick into overtime. And so it was just a great job. Once I got that job, I didn't have to take out any loans anymore. I think I might have taken out a small loan, but it was just a great job. Now, I learned a lot, and this is really important. You have to realize wherever you're at right now, God is training you for the next level. Whatever you're doing now, the silver lining is that He's training you for the next phase in your life. You might be in a situation that you absolutely hate right now. You might not like your job, you might not like your situation, but you got to look for the positive. And you got to look for the silver lining and say, what is it that God's doing in me? What is He training me for? Because I guarantee you this, whatever's happening in your life right now, He's training you to expand, and He's training you to go to the next level. But you got to see the good of that. And I've also discovered this, that whatever I do next, He always uses the skills that I learned in the previous place. He always ends up using them somewhere. So I learned a lot. I learned how to get up on time. I learned how to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I learned how to be somewhere at time. My first stop was 7:02 a.m. It wasn't 7, it was 7:02 a.m. I had to learn to get up on time. I had to learn to be on time. I learned a lot. I had to be consistent. They were relying on me. So I learned a lot. And then after 3 years, I graduated, and my friend Tom and I traveled for 6.5 months through the South Pacific and Asia, preaching and teaching. And then I'm in Nepal. We're in the country of Nepal, and we're staying at a children's home. And so all these kids are running around. And I noticed in the parking lot was this bus. And I said, hey, what's that bus doing there? And they said, oh, somebody donated this bus, but nobody knows how to drive it because it has a double clutch. I said, well, I know how to drive a double clutch. So the next thing I know, I'm driving around Kathmandu teaching the guy at the children's home how to drive this bus. You just never know what God is going to do with the skills that you have. The bigger thing is this, whatever is going on inside of you, He's training you for the next level. One, He's training you so that you'll be fully trained like your teacher, Jesus, so that you'll really build the character inside. But He's also training you for the next level, for whatever ministry, whatever job, whatever situation that He has for you. Say amen to that. The fourth one is this, is that faith supplies. So we've said that carito can be translated as form. We said that it could be translated as repair. We said it could be translated as train. But now we're going to see that it can be translated as supplies. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says this, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." Now that long phrase right there, supply what is lacking, it's actually only one word in the Greek, it's katarizo. And so this word katarizo means to supply what you're lacking. You're lacking something in your life. All of us are lacking something. So when katarizo, when God does this in our life, what faith does is faith supplies what is lacking in your life. The contemporary English version uses the word help, that God will help you with what is lacking. The NASB says God will complete what is lacking. The New King James says God will perfect what is lacking. But it's this idea that something is missing in your life, but it's out of faith, katarizo, that forms, that repairs, that trains, but it supplies what is lacking. It supplies what's missing in your life. And so this is so powerful because God wants to form some things in your life. He wants to train you. He wants to repair, but he also wants to supply what is lacking in your life. I'm sharing a little bit about my history, but I'll tell you what happened to me in high school. So believe it or not, I went to an international school. And so you might wonder, well, what's the educational system like in the Congo? Well, I was blessed because I went to an international school and it actually happened to be a really good college prep school. And so believe it or not, I graduated from high school in 1986. I know I look a lot younger than that, but I graduated in 86. And this might surprise you, but we actually had computers. We were learning computers. I actually took a programming course on using BASIC, not that I learned anything or know anything about it, but I took that course. And so we had a computer lab. And so I remember taking a course on word processing and then a little BASIC programming course. And so we got to use these computers, and it was a good college prep school. We were writing term papers in our freshman year. I think some of that is being lost in some of our school systems. And so I had written my paper, and it was back in the day when you had to write out your paper. For some of you that don't realize this, we used to go to the library for research, and we'd have little note cards, 3x5 cards, and you would look at a book and you'd make your notes. And so you would look for a book, and it was always discouraging when you would go and somebody else had checked out that book. So you're always hoping that the book would be there. So this is how we did our research. And then we'd write out our papers, and we used to type them. And I wasn't very good at typing. Oftentimes my mom was so gracious, she would help me type out a paper. And then you remember how excited we were when, because if you made a mistake, you had to white it out. And remember how excited we were when that one typewriter came out that you could do a line, and if you didn't like it, you could go back and erase it and redo it. How great that was, right? So we actually had computers, and so I'd written out my paper, and so I had this term paper, and I go into the computer lab, and I typed it all up. Well, we're all just learning, right? And I didn't save it. And the electricity went out, which was a common occurrence where I grew up. So the electricity went out. I didn't save it. And my heart just sank. I had spent hours on this 10-page term paper and had all my sources and everything. I was just so disappointed. So I go to my other class. And so now I had to come back in the afternoon. And I thought, I got to start over in the computer lab. And when I come in, I go to the computer, and the whole paper is there. It's all typed in. I thought, a miracle. And I looked up, and there was my teacher, and she was just beaming, smiling, and she could type 120 words a minute. And she had seen how sad I was, and I had left my notes there, and she got out there and just typed the whole thing for me. And just was such a blessing. Here's the point. She supplied what I was lacking. I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. You might feel like you're missing something, but God wants to supply what you're lacking. Maybe you're struggling with loneliness today. God wants to fill those places in your heart, supply what is lacking. Maybe you're wondering how in the world you're going to pay the mortgage this month. God wants to supply what is lacking. Maybe you know you're supposed to minister and to witness to people and tell other people about your faith, about Christ, and you're not sure how. God wants to supply what is lacking. That is faith. That is katarizo. Can you say amen to that? I'm sharing a lot about my background. But so in Africa, we have a lot of shoe stores, and they're called bata. You probably haven't heard of bata. That's some of you that grew up overseas. I see a couple of you nodding. But bata is a shoe store. And so the story is, and I've read different versions of this, but bata sent some executives down into Africa. They sent two executives to scope out the market to see whether or not this would be a good place to have shoe stores. And they got two responses. And the first guy wrote back and he said this, "There's no market here. No one wears shoes." That was his response. The second guy wrote back and he said, "There is a huge market here. No one wears shoes." And so it was just a matter of perspective. It was a matter of what they could see. So God wants to supply. They supplied shoes for the continent of Africa. God wants to supply whatever is lacking in your life for your walk of faith. As you're walking in faith, He wants to form you. He wants to repair. He wants to train. And He wants to supply what is lacking. Can you say amen? And so faith is tied into your identity, to your potentiality. There's a seed inside of you. God wants to grow you up as a person, grow your faith. He wants you to grow and believe Him for incredible things. Faith is also knowledge and experience, knowledge of who God is and what He wants to do. And then experience, actually walking that out and learning to experience the Lord at so many different levels. Can you say amen? So what is faith? Faith is formation. Faith is formation. Amen?